Well, thank you for all of you who serve in our worship time. You enhance our worship. You enable us to worship. You encourage our worship. And so whether you're on the stage or we rarely see you, you make a difference. You're greatly appreciated. In the Chinese service, I was recognizing people, and one man stood up 5 times. I'm like, okay, that's great, because I know as we go through this next 4 weeks, some of you may never stand at all. And I encourage you, if you don't have a place to serve as we go through the next 4 weeks, you should serve. I challenged the Chinese congregation to replace this man at least of half of his positions, because he shouldn't be doing all the work. We all need to share. So as we go through this time of celebrate service, maybe you need to think about where you can serve. You know, I want to ask you this question. Why do we worship God? Why is it so important that we worship God? What's the purpose of worship? Why is it such an important part of our Christian life? Why is the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, why is it full of people worshiping God in many different ways? Well, let's look at John 4:23, if you want to pull out your sermon outline, and let's see what Jesus said worship really was. John 4:23, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus is saying it's time to stand up. It's time to speak up. It's time to step forward and worship God. And not just worship Him by showing up, but by worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. When I think of spirit, how do we worship God in spirit? That means internally. We reach out. We open our heart to God. We tell God we love Him when we worship Him. When we worship God, we come into His presence and we connect with Him. We worship in truth when we worship the way God revealed Himself through the Word of God and through the Word, Jesus Christ. We're focused on God's Word, and we love God from inside when we worship Him. That's how we worship in spirit and in truth. See, when we enter the presence of God, whether it's today while we're worshiping Him corporately or in your quiet time when you're talking to God, we connect with Him spiritually. Have you ever heard two people talk about how they're connected to each other? They're in love, maybe a couple that's been married for many years. And they say, well, we're connected, and they're connected spiritually. That means their connection is more than just physical or emotional. That means that they know each other's thoughts. They share each other's feelings and desires. They know what the other is thinking before they do it. This happens all the time with my wife. In fact, I can tell you right now that I know what she wants for lunch. Okay? And if you want to test me, you go and tell her your husband said you wanted this for lunch. And C.S. says, no, he's stupid. He doesn't know what he's talking about, which it could be. Or, oh, yeah, that's right. She wants a roast beef sandwich from Arby's and curly fries. I can tell you that right now. Hey, we all want now. Let's all go now. So, okay. But see, when you're spiritually connected to God, it's the same thing. We know God's heart. We know what God's feeling. We know what God wants us to do, and we go do it because we're spiritually connected to Him. And there's 3 points I want to make to you today about worship. The first one is this. We were made to worship God. We were made to worship God. God made us this way. We didn't just evolve this way. It's in our spiritual DNA to worship God. We see this in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him. That's an important verse, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and have our and move and have our being. As some of your own poems have said, we are his offspring. Paul spoke this to a group of Greek philosophers who were not Christians. They were pagans, but he spoke this way to make them think about God. He said God made us and he placed us in this world, in this time, in this place, and we find our reason for living in God. In verse 27, that God did this so that we would seek him. If you would, take your pen and circle the word seek. God made us so that we would seek Him and find Him and reach out to Him. That is the purpose of worship. To seek, to reach out for, and find God. That's the key. God made us to seek Him. And if we were made to seek God, but we fail to do so, it leaves us empty. It makes our lives meaningless. Human beings, when we walk through this world without God, we have a God-sized empty hole in our soul. I know this after counseling people for many years now, that many people in this world have a God-sized empty hole in their soul. Only God can fill it, and if they don't have God, it's empty. So instead, we try to fill it by seeking out someone or something greater than us. Something more powerful than us, we try to fill that hole. We might idolize rich people or famous people or superstars and try to mimic them or dress like them and wear their clothing. Or we might seek power or profit or possessions to satisfy us, to fill that empty hole. Some people focus their lives on their pain and their problems. They go into depression and darkness because they think that's where they belong and that's what they put in that empty hole. Others try to cover up that emptiness with drugs or alcohol or addictive behavior or pornography, and we try to cover up that hole. But no matter what we do or what we put inside, it leaves us empty because we were made to worship God and to seek Him alone. See, worship is not a religious activity. It's not something you do on Sunday morning. It's not like going to the movies. Well, I went to the movies or I went to church and that's it. Worship is about entering the presence of God and giving God your full attention. Those who serve in worship ministry help us focus our attention on God, and I appreciate all that you do. So today I want to ask you, did you come today to meet the Creator of the universe? Did you come to enter in His presence and give your attention to Him? The second truth we learn about worship is for our benefit. It's not for God's benefit. God does not need our worship. God doesn't stress out because we didn't worship Him today. God doesn't worry when we don't praise and give Him adoration. God does not change. He remains who He is. God does not need our worship, but we need to worship God. That's a very important truth. Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. When we worship God, that's how we tell Him we love Him. When we enter in that loving relationship with God, when I love God and I know He loves me, it's easier to love other people. It's easier to put up with other people because I know God loves me, so I can love them. And when I can love other people freely, without jealousy or spite or bitterness, I can love myself. That's the kind of person I want to be. So when we love God and worship Him, it brings our lives into balance. When our lives are in balance, we can have that full and meaningful life. See, worship keeps us connected to God. When we worship God, the lines of communication open up. It's like having that internet service with a gigablast, you know, just so big we can get everything we want. Versus that old dial-up modem that you have to wait and wait for the tone and all that. When we worship God, when our worship is real, the lines of the communication open up. When we stop worshiping God, we stop hearing the voice of God. The longer we are away from the voice of God, we don't recognize it anymore. Now, how many of you recognize this picture? Let's go to our next picture. Ah, the old AM/FM transistor radio. Remember those days? Anybody know what this is? Okay. Old people know what it is. Okay, good. You know, when you had to get the right frequency by turning the little dial until you got it just right. And I listen to country music, so it's either 102.5 or 709.9. And you just have to get the right frequency, and you get it. If you're just a little off, they're static. And then I found out with one station, if you're just a little off, you get the Spanish station. You know, it's crazy. It's peppy music, but I've never understood it. Well, in order to be tuned into God, you have to be at His frequency. You have to be connected to God. We need the Holy Spirit and our open hearts to be connected to God in order to hear His voice. Worship is for our benefit. without worship, we start separating from God. If I meet a Christian who is not worshiping God on a regular basis, especially on Sunday morning, they no longer hear His voice. They no longer feel His presence. In fact, they probably don't worship Him in their quiet times. Worship is for our benefit. The second thing we see is that worship requires a response. When we worship God, something should happen inside of us. I was talking with a person about fishing, and they go, "I love fishing," or someone will tell me they went fishing, and I'll say, "Well, how many fish did you catch?" And they'll go, "Oh, we didn't catch any, but it was just nice to be outdoors." I'm like, "Seriously, you call yourself a fisherman? You know, it's okay just to be outdoors if you didn't catch any fish." I said, "That's not fishing, that's called boating. You know, that's called boating. If you're serious about catching fish, you're going to catch a fish." When I hear someone say, or I hear someone talking, "What did you do on Sunday?" And they said, "Well, I went to church." And I'm like, "Seriously? You went to church? That means you went and sat in a pew. Is that all you did? You went to church, you sat in a pew? Or did you go and worship God?" So I never tell people I went to church. I say, "I worship God. What did you do?" "I worship God and He told me that I need to forgive someone, or I need to be a better person." See, worship should cause us to respond to Him. It should provoke a response. When we worship on Sunday morning or in our quiet time, it should provoke a response. If you're worshiping the right way, something will happen. Now, it might be a big life-changing event, like, oh, you become a Christian. You surrender to Christ. You say, "Yes, I want Jesus. That's what God provoked in me today." Or maybe you're going to go into missions, or you're going to take a big, huge step. Maybe it's just a tiny nudge. God just going to nudge you a little bit and try to get you to go a different way. Change your attitude towards your kid or your spouse or your work. To learn to be more grateful instead of complain about everything. In any way, worship should trigger a response. There must be movement when you worship. I'm not talking about you dancing in the aisles and jumping up and down. I'm talking about there's some movement in your head. God provoked your head to think a certain way. Maybe God provoked your heart to show compassion. You know that someone needs compassion in your life. Maybe God provoked you in your hands to give of yourself, your material possessions of your heart or your voice or your hand to encourage someone. Real worship provokes a response or an action of some kind in you. That's how you know that you have worship. And so I want to talk about the three responses that you may experience in worship. The first one is that God will convict you. God will convict you of your sin. One of our biggest problems in life is sin. The problem with the world today, every problem you see is sin. You know, they had bombings this week and shootings and horrible things. You hear about people missing, being abducted, and all sorts of horrible things. Broken homes. Doesn't matter. It's all because of sin. Our biggest problem is sin. When I talk with people and I counsel them, I try to counsel them like a psychologist or counselor about their problems and talk about it. But I also want to talk about the sin that causes that problem. If you don't believe you have sinned, you are lying to yourself. 1 John 1:8, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." See, when we remain in our sins, when we remain in our pride or our guilt or our hate or our jealousy, it poisons our hearts, and we cannot find happiness. We cannot move forward in life because of sin. And a lot of people don't want to come to church. They don't want to read God's Word because it will convict them of sin. But you don't have to be afraid for the light of God's Word to shine into your life. You don't have to be afraid if you're convicted of sin, because Jesus died for your sins. God loved you so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead to give you eternal life. There's nothing to be afraid of. If your sins are exposed, you can get cleaned up in Jesus Christ. God will forgive you. If you came today and you're convicted of sin, confess it to God right now and be cleansed. Worship leads us and shines a spotlight on our lives. Did you come today and you're being convicted of a sin in your life? The second response that we can have is God will comfort you. God will comfort you. Did you come today worried? Did you come today frustrated? Are you worried about your health or your finances or your career or your school or your relationships? This past year, people my age, you know, we're not getting younger. We have parents we're taking care of. And many of us are worried about taking care of them. Fear clouds our minds. Worry clouds our mind. And we can't think straight when we're afraid or when we're worried. It paralyzes us from moving forward. So if you're worrying today, guess what? If you're worrying today, you are not worshiping God. Understand that? Worry is just a form of worship. And if you're worrying about your problems, you're not worshiping God. So the solution to worry is to worship God. Focus on God. Give Him your attention. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. See, when we know the love of Christ, when Christ's love is in us, and we love God, we are in the love zone. It's a wonderful feeling to be in love. Be in love with your spouse or your friends or your, you know, people that share a common bond. But when you're in love with God, you're in the love zone. What do you have to be afraid of? If I die today, I'm going to heaven. If you lose your job tomorrow, you're still going to heaven. What's there to be afraid of? As you know, I used to be a CPA, and before you can become a CPA, you have to take this horrible 19.5-hour exam, 2.5-day exam, in order to become a CPA, and you have to pass it. And I took classes, I prepared, I was ready to take the exam. But I remember I sat for the first 4-hour test, and go to the first problem. I was scared. I was nervous. I couldn't answer it. And they said, well, if you can't answer that, go to the next problem. Don't waste your time. Go to the next problem. Can't answer it. Even more terrified now. Even more scared. I went through all the questions and could not answer a single one. And I started to panic. I mean, a streak of fear went down. This was the first 4 hours. I had, 15.5 hours to go. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I'm a loser. I mean, this is bad. I was embarrassed. I mean, I was embarrassed I couldn't finish the exam. After all, my brother passed this test. I mean, it took him 10 times, but at least he passed the test. And if he could do it, surely I could do it. But I finally remembered, calmed myself down, talked to God a little bit, talked to myself a little bit, reminding myself that I studied hard. I was ready. So I went back to the first problem, and I answered and go, oh, okay, I got it. And I went to the next one, and answered them all. I finally, after 3.5 months, they give you the results. I passed the test. But it's because I had peace. I had comfort. It gave me clarity. When I experience God's peace and comfort, I can see clearly the pathway out of my problem, the solution to my problems, the direction I need to take. Maybe I don't need to be so guilty about something because God loves me and I love the people around me. I will do my best. The answer is already there. The answer is already there, but the fear keeps me from seeing it. So when I come and worship God, when we sing these songs, when I hear God's word, it comforts me. It calms my soul down. When I'm calm, the Holy Spirit gives me clarity. See, when you hear God's word, it should give you direction and hope. Maybe you came today uncertain and confused about life. Should I move this way or should I move that way? But after hearing God's word, you now have clarity. Clarity to see the pathway God wants you to go. The pathway outlined by the word of God. Maybe you have hope in God's promise. Maybe you will finally realize that you just need to ask for help. You need to ask for some help. Yes, see me or Pastor Steve or one of the brothers or sisters. Maybe you just need to ask for hope, but God's word comforts you. Did you come today and worship? Will God comfort you today? The third thing we see that our response to worship is God will challenge you. God will challenge you to do something. See, God never changes, but our worship should change us. When we worship God in spirit and in truth, it unlocks our heart to let God's will in so that we can obey Him. In the book of Isaiah, we see a picture in Isaiah chapter 6 where God let Isaiah take a peek into heaven. Isaiah was there. He was lifted into heaven in spirit. And when he was in heaven, he was in the very presence of God. The heavenly beings were flying around God singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And the whole earth was filled with His glory. And for the first time in life, Isaiah experienced the intense worship in its purest form. What we do here on Sunday is great, but it's not the worship we'll experience in heaven. And Isaiah experienced this worship. Then Isaiah 6:8 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" See, when Isaiah worshiped God, it energized his heart. It inspired his mind. When he heard God's call, "Who will go?" Isaiah rose to the challenge. He goes, "I'll go. Send me. I want to go." There was no hesitation. There was only desire to serve God. When we come on Sunday and we hear a call or an opportunity or a blessing, will we say, "Here I am, send me"? When you hear God's voice, will you say, "Here I am, send me"? When God says, "Go to that person who's unlovable, minister that person who needs help," will you say, "No, I don't really want to go, God. I'm busy. I don't know what to say"? Or you say, "Here I am, send me, God. I've worshiped You. I know Your heart. I want to go and obey You." Maybe God will say, "I need You to forgive someone." Maybe God will say, "I need You to apologize to someone." You say, "Here I am, send me." Maybe God says, "I want You to stand up for me, speak up for me, serve me, or love, or share the gospel with someone." Will you say, "Here I am, send me"? We just heard Gary share that they're taking a group up in Canary, and they're going to go sing Christmas carols to two of the care homes in McNary. And maybe you've never served God. Maybe you never stretched yourself or put yourself out there. There's an opportunity. You can go with Gary and the missions team, and they will guide you and help you. And you can go and stretch yourself, and you say, "Here I am. Send me. Just send me. I'll go do it. God will provide." See, when I worship God and my worship is right and real, it gives me the strength and encouragement and courage to do His will. And when I do God's will, when I say, "Here I am, send me," God will, I will enjoy it. I will enjoy doing God's will. When I experience it, it may be hard work, but I will enjoy it because I will be blessed because I love serving God. See, the ultimate goal of worship is to make you look like Jesus. As soon as you become a Christian, as soon as you followed Him in water baptism, your next step is to become more and more like Jesus Christ, and worship helps us be like Jesus. See, when we respond to worship, and He convicts us of our sin, we'll clean our hearts up. We'll confess it to God and get right with Him. When we come to worship and we're worried about something, God will relieve our worries. When we come to worship and we don't know what we're supposed to do or how to grow, God will give you a challenge or a commitment. And when we fulfill and obey that calling, we look like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "And we who are with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." We're looking more and more like Jesus. True worship flows from your relationship with God. It will enrich your life. It'll give you a happier life, a better future. So I encourage you, when you come to worship next Sunday, or even in your quiet time, come prepared to worship. What does that mean? You come humble before God. You come hungry before God. You hunger to know God. You come willing to hear God's voice and obeying Him. You come expecting the God of this universe, the creator of this universe, to speak to you. So have you been convicted of something today? God's saying, "Hey, you need to get this right." Have you been comforted by God's word today? God's saying, "I want to give you courage to move forward." May you have been challenged by God today to do something tangible and meaningful for God. Take the next step and follow Jesus Christ in all that He calls you to do. Come and worship. For those of you who maybe are not a Christian, or you're not sure if you're a Christian, or you're not sure what this all means, let me just express to you today that in order to worship God, in order to sincerely worship God and discover who He is, you must believe in Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life, so that the Holy Spirit will also come in your life and connect you to God. And if you're here today and you've never made that decision to trust in Christ, or you don't know if you have, now's the time to make that commitment, to follow Jesus. Take the next step, follow Jesus all the way to heaven. So if you're here today and you're a brother or sister in Christ, make a renewed commitment to worship God on Sunday and also in your private time. If you're here today and you're not a believer, or you don't know if you are, now's the time to trust in Christ and accept Him as Savior and as Lord. In a moment, we're going to sing an invitation song. Ready to make a new commitment or renew a commitment? Come forward and let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You that we can worship You. We can seek You and find You and know Your heart and Your will and Your way. Father, we just ask now that You touch our hearts, that we give You our full attention, and we say, Lord, we love You. We love You. We know You love us. And we want to love other people and help them to know You. And we want to love ourselves because You made us the way You did. Father, I pray my brothers or sisters today, maybe they realize that they haven't been worshiping You. Touch their heart. Convict their heart. Help them confess that they'll do better. And maybe someone's here today has come with a burden on their heart. I pray, Father, that You touch their heart. Lift that burden from their heart. That they have a fresh spirit, a fresh wind in You. Maybe, Father, my brother or sister is not growing because they have not accepted Your challenge. Touch their heart and realize that they can stand up for You, speak up for You. Father, if there's someone here who needs to believe in You as Lord and Savior, touch their heart. That they will say, yes, now I want to trust in Jesus and follow Him all the way to heaven. I want to be baptized as a testimony of my faith. I want to belong to this church so I have a place of home to worship. Father, we worship You, we glorify You, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand now, and I invite you to come and respond to the Lord if you're ready to make a commitment. Let's stand as we sing.